Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can also visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com. For all your church supplies, including Bibles, books, audiobooks, Bible study, music, jewelry, apparel, greeting cards, and much more, visit our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. Our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org. Our online Bible College at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc. at www.riversofrevival.com. Tonight, our statement of faith. We believe the Bible to be the inspired and holy, infallible Word of God. We believe that there is one God, eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the Church of God, which is in Christ at his return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance, faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and being baptized in water. We believe that regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemptive power of Jesus Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body in answer to believing prayer. We believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 2 verse 4, is given to believers who ask for it. We believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separated life in this present world. We believe in the Great Commission according to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
O Lord my God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Lord, there is none like unto thee. O thank you, Jesus. No one else can touch my heart like you do.
commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne, make all my wants and wishes known.
God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. Unto thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek shall he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many. And they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. In Jesus' name, amen. Continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. I must remind you that we will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, you can email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. The scripture for tonight will be taken from Matthew chapter 6, the King James Version. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward for your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thoughts for your life, that ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add more, or add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thoughts for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let us honor God's word. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I'm
we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's Book of Acts. We encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. Our lesson for tonight will be the continuation of understanding the Book of Revelation, and we will be speaking about reward. Every day, people are rewarded or paid a wage for their time, labor, and service, working at some task or job in the natural. This same principle can be applied to the Christian service to the Lord. Heavenly rewards, as with any natural pay, are exchange for time and service. One day soon, God will reward you for the time and service that you gave to His work. And God's pay far exceeds the salaries or wages that any man or what the best earthly jobs could offer or pay. In the book of Revelation 22, verse 12, we are told that the Lord Jesus Christ is returning one day with rewards. It reads, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." In the above text of Scripture, the word reward in the Greek is mistaios, pronounced mistos, meaning pay for services. It could be good or bad rewards. It is higher reward or wages. The American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language defines reward as something given or received in recompense for worthy behavior. It is also a satisfying return or result or profit. Heavenly rewards are based on service. When we begin to think about rewards, the human intellect begins to associate the greater rewards with the size of something. Rewards from the Lord God are not always based on the size of something, rather on obedience. So many try to attach themselves to what they think is great, and in doing so, expect a great reward from the Lord. They would be wrong to think so. Rewards are based on obedient service or work, where, in what, and with whom God told you, and not working where and in doing what you want. If you want to receive rewards from the Lord, then you must begin to line up your life with God's will for you. Submit to the call and place of service that God wants you to work, and not on what you or anyone else desires. Rewards are not a gift. Many confuse heavenly rewards with God's gifts to his children. Make no mistake about this. Rewards are not a gift. Rather, they are due to and based on faithful and obedient work and service unto the Lord. Salvation is a gift from God to all who will receive God's love gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, while rewards or wages are earnings paid. Your rewards in heaven are what you earned in service to the Lord on earth. You may gain salvation and enter heaven, yet have no or very little rewards. Your rewards are like your heavenly paycheck multiplied by God. It is not based upon the size of what you did. Rather, if you served obediently and faithfully where God had called you to serve, doing what he called you to do, you are admonished and encouraged by the Lord in his word to lay up treasures in heaven. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The words lay up in this text of Scripture means to store or bank. The Lord tells us to invest or store up treasures or wealth in heaven. This can only be done by working in doing heavenly things. Earthly work or service gives you an earthly paycheck at the end of a week or two, and so does heavenly work and service give you an heavenly paycheck or reward at the end of the pay period, when we stand before the Lord of the Bema Seat to be judged. Many Christians' treasure is in earthly life, for it is here that they want their treasure and store up their wealth. This must not be your goal. Become heavenly minded. Don't pull all your investments, time, energy, finances into the temporal things that you have now. Rather, put them in the eternal. Build a life in heaven by turning your work and efforts on earth toward God's work. Good intentions. Please don't think that you're going to get rewarded for the things that you intended to do, your heart desired to do, that you did not do, or what you felt like doing, but was afraid or too busy to do it. You will be rewarded for what you have actually done for Jesus Christ. You are rewarded according to as you work. Revelation 22, verse 12 reminds us, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Welcome once again to the House of Christ Ministries Presents, Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. I would like to remind you that we will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, you can email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. We encourage you to visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com. We also encourage you to visit our online bookstore for all your church supplies, including Bibles, books, audiobooks, Bible study, music, jewelry, apparel, greeting cards, and much, much more. Once again, you can visit our Christian bookstore for all your church supplies and your spiritual needs at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. Continue with our lesson, Understanding the Book of Revelations, and tonight we are speaking about rewards. You are rewarded not on hopes, wishes, feelings, would-haves, could-haves, should-haves, rather according to how you worked. And this includes, above all other things, did you work in the will of God for you? Matthew 16, verse 27 says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." If you did not work for the Lord, then you will not be rewarded, for you did not earn it. Great work, great reward. Little work, little reward. No work, no reward. No work, no reward. Great works are not always seen by human eyes, for many great works require great unseen sacrifices, such as with the intercessor, who is never seen doing the great work in prayer that changes nations, causes multitudes to come to Jesus Christ, and the doorway of salvation to be opened and more, or the mother who sacrifices all to stay home and train her children in the ways of God so that they may impact their generation. Many of the private things done for the Lord will be rewarded openly, and many of them, because of obedience to God and crucifixion of your desires and flesh, will be found to be great acts of service to the Lord. The private ministry that you do will soon become public knowledge. For the Lord shall reward you openly for them. So you do not have to let anyone know so that you are recognized. For your heavenly Father, who is the true rewarder, sees you. Matthew 6, verse 3 and 4 says, But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. This not only can be applied to temporal or earthly rewards, but also other God-ordained service and ministry. You will not be rewarded for fame or popularity. Rewards are for service or work and not for fame, popularity, gift, or glory. It is not because you have a big building, a television ministry, 10,000 churches associated with your organization, have multitudes of people following or working with you, or because you are doing what people think is great. Stop seeking after popularity or positions of visibility and honor in the church or ministry, for there is no reward in them. There is reward in doing God's will, whether it be in teaching the saints, teaching children, cleaning the church, praying for the sick, praying for the ministry that you are assigned to working, assisting your leader, the pastor, the bishop, the apostles, ministering service or helps to your leader, feeding the poor, ushering in the church, leading God's people in praise. Wherever God has given you a job, it is there that you gain the reward or wages. Can you imagine going to your natural job and working in the mail room rather than in the office that you were hired to work in? And then on payday, you come looking for a check or reward for what you did that you were not told to do, while yet leaving your work in the office undone. Beloved, you would not get paid, for they hired you for something different and agreed to pay you for that job and not any job that you choose to do. If you are not working where and in what God has told you to work, then you will not be rewarded. No matter how great you think your service in the wrong area was. So many Christians are concerned about how others view them and their service to the Lord. And so when someone asks them what they do in the church, how big the church is, or what their church does, they try and make it sound big in the eyes of those people in order to compete with worldly opinions of success. Don't try and impress people, and don't worry about how many people do your service to the Lord. Keep serving and working for the Lord where and in what God has told you. People don't always understand how God rewards. They think that something big is God's blessing because that's how the world views success. They don't understand That obedience qualifies you for true heavenly rewards, which is yet to be revealed in eternity. Don't take on the earthly vision. Your vision, as well as the vision of all Christians, must be changed from the earthly reward and success view to the heavenly view of success and reward. You must begin to set your eyes on heaven to truly serve the Lord and earn heavenly wages or rewards. Whatever you are called to do, do it faithfully, regularly, and without complaint. Great sacrifices for great rewards. Many heavenly rewards often require great earthly sacrifices. Those sacrifices can be finances, time, perceived opportunities, sleep, moving away from familiar surroundings, friendships, reputation, and sometimes it can cost a person's life. Please do not be deceived to think that you will sacrifice little to gain heaven's best, for it does not work that way. Even in the natural military, those who make the greatest sacrifices, sometimes by taking the hardest missions, are rewarded the greatest. In Jesus Christ, a hard mission can be praying for and ministering daily to high school teens in front of their schools who mock and ridicule those who serve the Lord. Too earthly minded. Too many Christians are too earthly minded and want all their rewards in this life. It is shameful that this generation of Christians are mostly desirous of earthly reward. We want earthly proof to show to the world that we can have what we want from our God. We want Him to give us cars, houses, big bank accounts, big jobs, big corporations, the wealth of the wicked or sinner. All those earthly riches we claim to be God's approval, reward, and blessings. If this is true, then why didn't Jesus Christ, the apostles, the early disciples, prophets, and persecuted and martyred Christians throughout the past generations claim the same earthly reward and benefits? Were not they just as much as God's children as we are? Perhaps God loves this generation more than those others. So here is a question. Are earthly riches our heavenly rewards? God can give us earthly riches, yet most never qualify for them. So many Christians in this generation set their hearts on earthly riches and expect God to reward them with those things, yet they ignore God's word that tells us not to set our hearts upon them. Psalm 62 verse 10 says, "Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them." God's word also tells us the difficulty in the rich entering into heaven. Matthew 19 verses 23 and 24 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Why would God tell us that it is very difficult for those with earthly riches to enter heaven? And then make that his main reward, or tell us the wealth of the sinner is laid up in the just? Proverbs 13, verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. There is a misconception going on today, because many ministers are speaking wealth as a goal or reward for the Christian. This vision is temporal and short-sighted of heaven's best for the Christian. Some teachings can make a minor riches and wealth the focus and goal, and totally ignore the major righteousness. In Proverbs 13, verse 22, the Hebrew word for just is tzadik, meaning just, lawful or righteous. This changes to who this text of Scripture can be applied. Many ministers are put on the burden of teaching on getting the wealth rather than living righteously. The wealth of the sinner is not laid up for a Christian who is living in sin, covetous, lustful, or vain in their pursuits, and those who are carnal and our fleshy appetites, rather for the righteous. God most often rewards earthly riches because those people have been given a responsibility to give as part of their ministry or as a reward for those who have crucified the flesh and live righteously, who know that wealth is not the accumulation of things, rather in God, who has all things. Giving wealth to Christians who are unrighteous, fleshy, and carnal would cause a greater hindrance in their lives and perhaps cause them to miss heaven. A Christian's desire for wealth for reasons other than to serve God is often the greatest indicator of them not being ready for wealth. We must cease teaching Christians to covet riches. If it is some great reward and turn them back to seeking God as the true treasure in whom all riches are. Jesus Christ told us not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth. It is the Laodicean church, our last day's church, that looks for earthly things. And in the process of doing so, they put God out. In Revelation 3, verse 17, Jesus Christ speaks to the last day's church who seeks after riches. It reads, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need for nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The church which thinks that natural goods or a mark of God's increase is a blind and naked church. They are blind of the true mission of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the position of servitude and sacrifice that all those who claim to be part of it must seek. In this hour, it is imperative that you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and not things as a reward. We appear to be having some technical difficulties at this time, so we will continue the lessons. We were about to take a short break, but as I mentioned before, we are experiencing some difficulties. Praise the Lord, we were able to overcome, and we'll be playing for you now, Holy, Holy, Holy. Once again to the House of Christ Ministries presents Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World and Honoring the Great Commission. As we continue on this spiritual journey, understanding the book of Revelation, our lesson for tonight is rewards. Beloved, it is important that you understand that the least of heaven's reward is far greater than the greatest of earth's treasures. Not only are they far greater than earth's treasures, but they are not temporal or have a short lifespan like earth's treasures. Rather, they are eternal, lasting forever and ever. Earth's treasures are temporal or short-lived. As a Christian, you should not be striving and setting your goals on earthly riches. when you die, you can take no earthly riches with you. And old saying goes like this: you never see a moving truck following a funeral procession. Only what you do for Jesus Christ will last or can be taken into eternity. This time, we would like to extend an invitation to you to join us on the Roman road to salvation. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you had previously accepted Him and turned away from Him, I encourage you to join us in prayer on this road to salvation. God created us in His own image to have an abundant life. God gave us a will and freedom of choice. We choose to obey or disobey. We still make this choice today. This results in separation from God. I encourage you to turn away from the sins of the world and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is standing at the door of your heart. He is knocking. He is listening and waiting for you to make that decision. He is waiting to be restored as the Lord and Master of your lives. I am asking you tonight to renew your commitment to Jesus Christ. Will you receive Him right now? Romans 3 verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6 verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, O Lord. Beloved, salvation is a gift, and you can receive it this very minute if you will admit you are a sinner and ask Jesus Christ to save you.
For behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, the pay of a man, according as his work shall be. Watchful and be ready.
Watchful and be ready.
I hear my Savior say.
I hear my Savior say.
When the trump of God shall sound.
Trump of God shall sound.
And the dead in Christ shall rise.
And the dead in Christ shall rise.
About to depart from this earth, his disciples, he appeared unto them. Hallelujah. They asked, Master, please, will you tell us, Lord, what shall the sign of your coming be? He said, let not your heart. Amen.
Without you in my heart, my life is meaningless. I know that Jesus Christ can save me, and He is the only one who can save me. I believe in my heart that you, Lord God, raised Him from the dead. Dear Lord, forgive me for every sin I have ever committed or done in my heart. I am sorry for my sins. Right now, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. and amen. I encourage you to tune in every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I pray that tonight's show was a blessing and that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God bless you, and good night.